When we started the Black Diamond Club, we actually started it as kind of the antithesis of another group that was out there bashing on people, being unsupportive, not elevating people when they had success. So when we created our group, we actually curated the community to be one that bred this connection, collaboration, and truly cared about each other. And so one of our big things was always we wanted to create a community that eventually took over and became the community.
Hey, this is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. At the NBA All-Star Weekend, we want to thank the Indiana Pacers for hosting us here in this unbelievable studio at the Indy Hotel. And I am with my best friend's wife. Dr. Lacey Book.
Wait, but I thought that we became best friends because he was looking for a new one.
Yeah, but then Julie got jealous.
That's fair.
I told her I have a new best friend. She goes, no, Lacey, my best friend. So now I got to go back to
that
the second team.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. But you and Sean, your husband, have changed my life. And, you know, I try my best to raise my awareness that people are at the same frequency. Mm-hmm. And everything that we do together doesn't always work out the way that I have it planned. But I've never, and I told Julie this, my wife, that I've never had friends that when things don't work out that have the same mindset that I do, that they're going to end up better, and they do. Mm. And I picked up on that the very first time. I was blessed to speak at an event, and we didn't know each other that well. Right. And Patrick Bet-David was there, and Scott Duffy, and all these people that were extraordinary speakers. But I could tell they weren't part of the community.
Right.
And when I got there, I was like, I really like the vibe. Mm-hmm. I love, and I didn't know anything about chiropractors or anything about the green, like these things.
But the green books.
The green books, right? And I'm like, holy shit, I fit in here.
Right.
And I stayed and did things. Even, I kind of try to be the Tony Gwynn of speaking where I'm, you know, always there till the last picture, the last thing in meetups. But I just loved it so much, I didn't want to go home. Do you guys intentionally create that frequency? Because whether you're doing your masterminds, the Black Diamond Club, all the different content that I see, it seems to me that you have a very good awareness of the vibe.
Well, number one of the things when we started the Black Diamond Club, we actually started it as kind of the antithesis of another group that was out there bashing on people, being unsupportive, not elevating people when they had success. So when we created our group, we actually curated the community to be one that bred this connection, collaboration, and truly cared about each other. And so one of our big things was always we wanted to create a community that eventually took over and became the community. It perpetuated itself. And so I think by starting something with that energy and intention behind it created what you now experience as what you're calling the vibe or the energy, or it's kind of like when you go into the group, you feel like you're immediately at home. And we did that with intention from the very start. And so now I think it's just, it naturally happens without us having to, you know, pay attention to every single detail. But I got to tell you, because I was just thinking when you were speaking, that was the thing that we appreciated about you most, is that when you came to our event, you really treated our community like they were yours from the very beginning. You connected with people, you listened intently, you talked to them afterwards, you stuck around. And that says a lot about your character, because there's not a lot of people that do that. They come in and they go out. And the idea is that you're there to inspire people, that you're there to connect with them, that you're there to get them to move in a direction they haven't before. And it's really difficult to do that if you just get up on stage and talk for 30 minutes and go.
Yeah, it's really funny because, as you know, Gary Vee is one of my first partners in kind of the social media space. And yeah, one of the things I appreciate, we did something in Columbus, Ohio, and I won't mention the other person, but they actually had a VIP like dinner meetup for the other person. He was like the brand. Like we just did Aspire and they had the Dave Meltzer dinner afterwards.
Right.
So this was the person. And Gary and I are just out there, you know, eating with everyone, talking. Yeah. And Gary was much bigger than me and still is, but at that time, way bigger than me. And we couldn't even go talk to this guy because he had like three security guys. And it was his thing. And he showed up for like just part of it. And Gary was there as well from the beginning to the end. Now, one of the things I also notice about what you and Sean are doing. And you're into a variety of different entrepreneurial businesses, journeys, investments, and you're doing all these great things. But you remind me of, from my perspective, of when I got home from college or law school, and I was at a different frequency.
Where is this going?
Yeah. So I came home, and my original community, I outgrew. And they didn't feel comfortable. And they still, I have two friends that I looked up to in high school that attack me.
Yeah.
And they're guys who had lost money of mine. They're guys who, one of them, you know, the board made me fire. I'd hired them to help them get to a different level. I learned a lesson, you know, you don't hire friends above what their capabilities are because you hurt you both. But I see that with when you're in a community that you're elevating, you're going to get people that don't fit into the community anymore because the frequency's elevated past them, but then they project their insecurity because of the uncomfortability of not being at that vibration or frequency or not doing the work or not being capable. I see that from the outside where I see you guys as unbelievable brand, unbelievable community members and friends. But I also see the coming home from college, you've grown so much, you've grown out of people, and some people resent that.
Well, and listen, for everybody listening out there, this will happen to all of you as you elevate. Like, it's not unique to you, it's not unique to me or Sean.
It happens in marriage to people. I've seen it. I thought Julie was going to leave me because she was so far elevated and I wasn't catching
up. You had to close that gap real quick, exactly. Otherwise you're going to lose your wife, right? But what I've learned is that as soon as you step outside of somebody else's comfort zone, then they project onto you. But here's also what I noticed. Perspective is everything. Perception is everything. And people have a tendency to put you in a box of who you were in the time that they met
snapshot.
You.
Snapshot.
Right? It's a snapshot. It's this compartmentalization of, well, I met Lacey when she was just a chiropractor and doing A, B, and C.
Yeah, Joe Dispenza was just a chiropractor.
Joe Dispenza was just a chiropractor. And there's probably a lot of people out there that put him in the box of chiropractic. And as soon as he began to break out of that box, because it wasn't what they put on him anymore, they no longer liked it. It made them uncomfortable. So when you're breaking out of other people's boxes that they put on you, that's when they start to talk about you. That's when they get uncomfortable. That's when they fall away. That's when they hate. That's when they project. And so what I have come to realize and learn is I'm okay breaking outside of other people's boxes because I don't want anybody to box me in. Or hold me back.
Or make you feel like you can't move on. And we see so many people that limit their own self-image because of the self-image that other people put onto them.
Exactly.
Because they're afraid of what you are doing for themselves. And it's interesting because I think family for me is the hardest, that my siblings see me as David Meltzer at 18 because that's who they knew the best.
Yes.
So in my wife, who you know very well, your best friend, Julie, she says all the time, they will never be able to know who you are today. Because there's so any decision I make, it's a decision that's based off of 18-year-old David. So they're looking for what 18-year-old David, the angle, the manipulation, overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating of 18-year-old Dave, not 56-year-old Dave that literally breaks down in tears sometimes in full exhaustion for trying to be of service and of value to live to my name that means beloved servant. Not that I'm perfect, but compared to who I was at 18, I'm not even close to the same person or the same frequency. Now that you have...
I got to just say, please. Though, because I'm just thinking, you know, the heaviest burden that anyone can carry is those perceptions of you from somebody else, and you just dragging them into your future self, right? I mean, what
great
a heavy
point.
Burden, and so many of us carry that because they're people that are closest to us. And so we feel like, oh, I'm always going to be little Lacey, right? I'm always going to be the one that got in trouble way too much when I was younger. And that, because that's people's perception of me. And you're carrying it and you're trying to always prove that you're different, improve otherwise. Man, that's heavy, right?
It's heavy.
And we all carry those limitations with us.
Yeah. And I think it falls within your search for the light, the love, and the lessons and everything. And I break it down to one, you know, did I do to be responsible for that perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it?
Right.
and not carry it with me or hang on to it? What do I do to attract that perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it so I don't carry it forward? And then that last one, what am I still doing to participate in that perception? And because I find myself participating, just to break the fourth wall for a second, have you ever like had an event where you're going backwards because the neighborhood of that event is your past?
Past, yes.
And you get super anxious, and then you revert into participating in the perception that you wanted to show them that you weren't in anymore.
Right.
And Thanksgiving, Christmas, I feel that every time. And I've worked on it so much. I'm like, why is it that I can stand in front of 10,000 people and be at ease in at this frequency, but I could go back for Thanksgiving and literally have butterflies and keep, like, nothing keeps me up at night.
It's literally making me think you have to stop feeding other people's perception of you, right? Because we do that. We go into those environments, and then the old vibrational match we once were, we revert back to that, right? And it's a very interesting thing. It could be environmental. It could be around those people. But it really, you're right. We have a tendency to do those things, but it feeds that old perception. Yeah. So you can't release it if you continually
move into it. Now, I want to move to another subject that's more relevant to me. Now, that one was what I see from the outside of it, and congratulate you on elevating what you're doing. And I see so many people in love. I always say there's 10% of people
who love
you.
We're always working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something at the Super Bowl when I was with Sean that I realized more than ever that my brand has grown so big. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a full circle that, you know, I left Lee Steinberg by choice to save his life. I would have gladly stayed in that role, but I was protected and promoted by his disease, alcoholism, which he admits to, and it drew me and Warren Moon closer together. Mm-hmm. Then through Warren turning 65 and COVID, all that, I left Sports One Marketing as CEO and started, you know, building my own brand. And now I had that my brand is big. I have Jake, who worked for me, who you know, the opposite happened. Because when I was at Super Bowl, it was like, how's your relationship with Lee? Because he wants to be on the board with you. Or how's your relationship now with Warren that we're not together in daily business as well? Now it's the opposite for me, because Jake, who was the head of my sales and amazing kid, who I never thought would be a lifer because of his skill.
For sure.
It's a compliment to him,
yeah.
Like, honestly. But it was the opposite. Now they were like, hey, and I know Jake was getting on his side. Is everything cool with David and you?
Yeah.
And I know you guys have born and bred some great people along the way as well. How do you, because you have such great, like Julie, like just, I need your advice basically. Like, how do you deal with that so it's not uncomfortable? Because I always feel like I'm justifying I love Lee and I love Warren and I love Jake and I only wish the best. And I would love to do more with them aligned with what I'm doing, not aligned with what they're doing.
To clarify, like, what you're asking?
Are you uncomfortable when people that have worked with you in the past or that have moved on or you've moved on from, when they're like, well, you know, are you okay with so-and-so? Is there any way to handle that better than I am?
I mean, I'm human, right? Too. So like there's always emotion around when there's breakup or considered loss or people falling away, whether it was to protect and promote you or whether it was because they were growing in a different direction.
Well, I believe it's all protection and promotion.
Yeah, it all is protection and promotion. That is very true all the time. But I think the biggest thing is that I have to always give myself permission to feel what I'm feeling and then move on from it. And I have to listen and lean into that. And so there's no right answer on how to deal with it, because it is a case-by-case basis. Like, am I going to allow that person back into my life and do work with them? The real question is it in alignment with what I'm doing? And if it's not, just like anything else that's not, I'm going to say no, right? Because that it doesn't matter past history. Because like you said, it's like with our friends and our family, because we have a past, does that mean we say yes if it's no longer in alignment? No.
Right.
And then the other thing that's really interesting, because I have been working through this process a lot, people do fall away oftentimes because you've done your job. Right?
Projection and promotion.
And in reality, look, if you're doing your job and you're pouring into people and you're showing them how to go out on their own and how to build a business and how to help others, and then they leave you because they have all the confidence in the world to do just that, while it may hurt, the reality of it is you have to be like, that was the goal, right?
Yeah.
Jake had the skill set. That was the goal. It wasn't for him to stay with me forever.
I try to feel like a high school football coach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you pour into these kids for 4 years.
Yeah.
And are you going to make them play high school again? No, you want them to go to college and play, or the pros if you're a college coach. And you want to be able to seek that joy in watching other people's success. To me, it is the greatest joy. Last thing too, to understand different businesses, one of the things I admire about Sean and you is very few people on earth have the same eclectic view of the, like, I look at skills, knowledge, and desire, and we've invested in all types of different things together. We are in different businesses all over, and we feel capable of taking on all kinds of stuff. And for you, you're the youngest of this crowd, which is awesome. But I love the fact that you can just walk into, if I say, hey, we're going to do customized tennis shoes. Yes. Do you want to come into business with me for customizer or the new Ferocious Buddha box that I'm coming up with? And you just step into it. And other people, they literally think you just have, you know, they're not Elon Musk-like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Still, I study this guy because he doesn't step into little projects like you. It's like, yeah, we're going to go to Mars. I'm going to have electric cars and walls. And then I'm also going to have neural links in computing. And I'm going to be the CEO of all of them.
Right.
We don't do that.
No.
But I'm really admiring and watching, you know, what do you do to vet whether or not you are capable, so that you don't, you know, diminish your energy by getting into something super wacky?
Yeah, well, number one, I mean, you hear people say that all the time. You should do one thing and just do that super, super well, right? But what if you do business super well, right? And that's what I think about. Like, so, okay, maybe your one thing that you do super well is your skill set. You're a chiropractor. Like, I was a chiropractor. I did that really well. But what I learned very quickly is I am killer at systems and infrastructure. I can find solutions very quickly. So if I can do that really well, and I know that could be applicable into the business that I'm looking at, and I can utilize that one skill really well, then I will say yes to it. And that particular thing happens to translate and transfer across all different types of businesses, because it is the one thing I do well. So for some of you, it may be your skill set, but my skill set happens to apply into a multitude of things. So you have to ask yourself, you know, like, does my thing apply and is it applicable all across the board? And if it is, then you can get into an eclectic array of all of these businesses. And you do people really well, right? And if you do people really well, man, the opportunity is endless.
I can't think of a bigger compliment than I do people really well. And the compliment even furthermore validated by the fact that you are our best friends, and we appreciate you so much. Surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. That's what you're doing when you surround yourself with Dr. Lacey Book. I love you. Thank you. I'm proud of you and appreciate you. We will have you back. Welcome to the NBA All-Star Weekend, a different vibe, a different view, but we're always here for you. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.